This is the Boy Scouts of America. You are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra. Acra.
Perfect. Acra. Thank you.
Here are your news headlines for Tuesday, February 14th. A gunman opened fire at Michigan State University and killed three people and wounded five last night. The shooter eventually killed himself. A man driving a U-Haul truck in Brooklyn February 13th swerved onto sidewalks and killed one person and injured eight others before police were able to pin the careening vehicle against a building following a miles-long pursuit. A Georgia judge on February 13th ordered the partial release on Thursday of a report by a special grand jury that investigated efforts by former President Donald Trump and his allies to overturn his 2020 election loss. Grand jurors in their report expressed concerns that some witnesses may have lied under oath. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has signed off on plans to dredge in the Hudson River off the shores of Beacon Island, where the Port of Albany is building an offshore wind turbine tower manufacturing plant. Brian Herman of Copake and Mark Porton of Chatham have announced they are running for Columbia County Judge, and Republican Representative Mark Molinaro will head a congressional subcommittee on entrepreneurship.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tunstall Studio Publishing of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Bro in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Tuesday, February 14th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. While most elections are held in the fall and some occasionally in March, the Chatham School District is polling its electorate about a 2023 capital improvement project proposal during a time when few people are thinking about voting. Polls are open on February 14th from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. in the MED Elementary School gym in Chatham. There are two propositions on the ballot in Chatham. Prop 1 is a $18,218,595 proposal to shore up aging infrastructure, improve classroom and community spaces, and address safety, security, and health concerns. The proposed work would take place at Chatham High School, Chatham Middle School, Mary E. Dardis Elementary School, and the bus garage, unquote. School district would apply $8,434,944 in capital reserves and issue bonds for taxpayers to pay for the remainder of the costs. Quote, Prop 2 would authorize the district to install a building-wide air conditioning HVAC system at Mary E. Dardis Elementary School at a cost not to exceed $3,880,000 $79,600, unquote. Prop number two is dependent on the passage of Prop number one, so if voters do not approve Prop number one, Prop number two will not pass. If voters approve Prop number one but do not approve Prop number two, only the work under Prop one would be completed. See the Chatham School District website for more information about the budget proposals that go before voters on February 14th. Nancy Kern reports for Columbia Green Media that on February 8th, the Catskill School District approved a property tax exemption for volunteer firefighters and volunteer ambulance workers. Green County passed a similar tax break for first responders a few days before. The laws are meant to entice more first responders to the area. The law even says, quote, firehouses are closing and ambulance companies are being folded into larger county-spanning units to cover labor gaps, unquote. Catskill Town Board will also consider a similar proposal at its 6:30 p.m. February 15th meeting, which will have a live web stream at wgxc.org/listen. Read more about this story at hudsonvalley360.com. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that Governor Kathy Hochul said February 13th that vaccine mandates for healthcare workers will remain in place. On February 12th, Hochul lifted mask mandates for hospitals, though some, such as Columbia Memorial and Hudson, are keeping the mask mandate in place. Hochul said, quote, when you walked into a healthcare facility or a hospital or a nursing home, you should have the right to know that an individual who is taking care of you is not going to contract a virus and pass it on to you, unquote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Chris Gallardi reports for the New York Focus that Anthony Annucci, the acting head of the state prison agency for the past 9 years, claims space issues are forcing prisons across the state to routinely violate the Humane Alternatives to Long-Term Solitary Confinement Act. That legislation passed last year to end solitary confinement in prisons, yet solitary confinement continues in prisons. According to Annucci, there was an increase in the number of assaults in prisons shortly after Hult's enactment, which he claims, quote, overwhelmed, unquote, the system, forcing more prisoners into solitary confinement. State Senator Brad Holyman-Sigel told New York Focus that he was, quote, appalled with the acting commissioner's responses, unquote, about the correction systems regularly violating the law. Quote, our correction system is operating outside our statute, which was thoroughly considered and negotiated by the executive itself, unquote, Holyman-Sigel said. Read more about this story at New York Focus. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, February 14th. Everybody knows what day it is. That's right, day before half-price chocolate. Local early morning temperatures range from 30 degrees in Tannersville to 42 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 36 degrees. Some frisky winds this morning calm down in the afternoon as that mercury rises to 49 degrees by 3 p.m. Overnight, nature teases us with the thought of ice. However, the low drops to only 34 degrees. Tomorrow, things get downright hot after another windy morning. We get a high of 57 degrees. Overnight, we dip to 40. Thursday, things stay sultry with a high of 58 and a moist afternoon leads to a wet and wild overnight, dropping about an inch of rain with gusty winds showing up. Friday, we start to cool and dry off, but those wind gusts will still remain pretty stiff. Sunset today will be at 5:11 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:49 a.m. Looking way up, we have a geomagnetic storm watch in place for the next couple days, and we have a 20% chance of X-class flares. Solar wind speed is currently 350 kilometers per second at about 7 protons per milliliter, although things have been getting a little weird in the stellar neighborhood last night. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 15 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight, that is, at least until the CMEs arrive. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2.6. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 185. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Survive All, one of the nation's leading manufacturers of fallout shelters, now combines sturdy steel with durable concrete block for
a civil defense approved basement type do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Ensure protection for your family. See a Survive All shelter today.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We are not flying surveillance balloons over China. I'm not aware of any other craft that we're flying over into Chinese airspace.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby addressed concerns raised by the Chinese government about the U.S. flying intelligence balloons into their airspace. The U.S. shot down a balloon from China gathering intelligence on the U.S. and several other unidentified flying objects in the past few days. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said the crafts are still being investigated. 5 years after the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, survivors are opening up about gun violence in schools. According to the K-12 school shooting database, there were 114 school shooting events in 2020, climbing to 250 in 2021 and 300 in 2022. Delaney Tarr, a co-founder of the March for Our Lives, described how the shooting has impacted her.
I don't know if we ever really understood how we were going to have longevity. That was a big concern for us, but it was also, once again, a symptom of trauma. Can't really look into the future at all. So we didn't have the ability to say, where will we be 5 years from now? Our goal, of course, was to not have to exist 5 years from now.
After the mass shootings at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, and in Buffalo in 2022, lawmakers passed legislation encouraging states to pass red flag laws, which allow groups to petition courts to remove weapons from threatening people, and expanded background checks for people wanting to buy guns. During the National Association of Counties Legislative Conference, U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy addressed what has been the cause of declining youth mental health. He noted that while the youth mental health crisis has been exacerbated by the pandemic, there is another layer to it.
Behind the youth mental health crisis is a mental health crisis among parents who are struggling themselves to figure out how to care for their children while they themselves are dealing with stress and anxiety, often at unprecedented levels.
Kari Lake, the former Arizona Republican gubernatorial candidate, still claims she won the 2022 election, parroting rhetoric from former President Donald Trump. During a speech to an Iowa Republican women's group, Lake said she's committed to her case, even if this means going all the way to the Supreme Court. She's confident the Arizona Court of Appeals decision will prove she won once and for all.
We're about to find out truly how corrupt our system is, because we have a mountain of evidence and we have the law on our side. And if we cannot contest elections that are dirty, rotten, horrible, stolen elections, then we're in trouble.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Remember our explainer on the most common types of public funding of elections, democracy vouchers, and small donor matching systems? The New Hampshire House votes February 14th on a hybrid of the two called voter-owned elections. HB 324 provides four $25 certificates to each registered voter, which can be given to qualifying candidates in the race for governor or executive council. To qualify, a gubernatorial candidate must secure 2,500 individual contributions of $5 to $250, and executive council candidates 500 contributions of $5 to $125. Qualifying also makes candidates eligible for a general election grant of $1 million for the governor's race and $60,000 for executive council. As with Seattle and New York State, the voter-owned system encourages candidates to seek out voters' contributions and votes. It engages small donors in a state where most election funding comes from just 600 wealthy Granite Staters. It limits the size of non-voucher donations to a maximum $250, prohibits contributions from corporations, unions, and lobbyists, and allows good candidates without wealthy friends to compete. HB 324 goes to a closely divided House, but it does have a few bipartisan supporters, and it has a chance. Its fate is less certain in the gerrymandered New Hampshire Senate. More details on the New Hampshire proposal and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. Tonight, it's just me in the studio. This is Jenny coming at you live from the past. I'm recording this, well, this past weekend. Today, it's February 12th, and I'm anticipating that you are listening to this on Valentine's Day, which is our usual time slot for Dim the Lights. However, sadly tonight, we are not able to be in the studio, so you're going to get a special mini episode, which is just me telling you what's playing in the theaters right now. So, let's begin with the Crandall Theater, which is over in Chatham, New York. We have Babylon, Living, the Oscar Shorts in Animation, the Oscar Shorts in Live Action, and the Oscar Shorts in Documentary. We also have Women Talking, Sing, After Sun, and A Man Called Otto. And you can find out those specific showtimes at crandalltheater.org, as many of those are movies that are coming up towards the end of the month and into March. Alrighty, so let's head back over the river, over to the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. So we have 80 for Brady, Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, and Knock at the Cabin. And you can find those specific showtimes at wyndhamtheater.com. I know there are some new movies coming out this weekend also, so I would strongly suggest checking in to see what has been updated in the time between now and next weekend. So, let's stay on the west side of the river, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what's playing at the Upstate Cinemas, starting with the one in Saugerties. So, we have, for this week, Tar, Living, The Whale, and Skinamarink. At the Star Cinema in Rhinebeck, we have Turn Every Page, The Adventures of Robert Caro and Robert Gottlieb, and Women Talking. And you can find updated showtimes for the weekend at upstatefilms.org. While I'm down a little bit further south, let me tell you about what's playing at the Lyceum Cinemas in Red Hook, which is where I live. We have, for Tuesday, February 14th, 80 for Brady, Knock at the Cabin, Avatar, The Way of Water, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, Titanic in 3D, A Man Called Otto, The Amazing Maurice, The Fablements, and Maybe I Do. And you can find those specific showtimes at greatmovieslowerprices.com/lyceum-cinemas.html. I usually just Google Lyceum Red Hook, and that gets me there. Alrighty, and then in Hudson, let's talk about Spotlight Cinemas, which is otherwise known as the Fairview Movieplex. So, for this week, we have Consecration, The Amazing Maurice, Knock at the Cabin, 80 for Brady, A Man Called Otto, Megan, Avatar, The Way of Water, and Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. And you can find those specific showtimes at spotlightcinemas.com/Hudson. Alrighty, and then the last one on my list is TSL, which is the independent theater in Hudson. Let's see, what do we got here? Alrighty, so at TSL, this weekend we have Hudson America, James Baldwin Abroad, When You Finish Saving the World, Corsage, the Oscar-nominated shorts in animation, and the Oscar-nominated shorts in live action. They are also playing The Whale, The Rules of the Game, and EO. And you can find the specific showtimes for TSL at timeandspace.org. And that's about it for what's playing in our local cinemas this week. You can find more information about Dim the Lights, which is this abbreviated radio show, at our Instagram, which is at Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. And you can also dive into our back catalog on the WGXC website in the archives at WGXC.org. We hope that you are taking this opportunity on this unseasonably warm February night to snuggle up with yourself or someone you love and watch a fun movie. We've got lots of recommendations in our past episodes. And yeah, we'll see you two Tuesdays from tonight. Have a great week, everybody.
Until we are great. Until we are great. Until we are.
from the 2023 album This Stupid World from Yellow Tenga. That's Sinatra Drive Breakdown on 90.7 FM WGXC. We go to the WGXC community calendar online for all sorts of things to do in the area, including Wednesday, February 15th. Catskill Town Board meets, and they meet at the Catskill Town Hall at 6:30 p.m. on Main Street in Catskill. WGXC also has a live web stream with the town board. All the town board meetings are on wgxc.org/listen, or click on the listen button at any webpage. If you can't make it in person to the Catskill Town Board meeting Wednesday, February 15th, you can listen in at wgxc.org. And word is they are considering a tax break for local first responders at the meeting. There'll be a public hearing and then possibly a vote on the issue Wednesday, February 15th. So turn out or tune in to the Catskill Town Board meeting Wednesday, February 15th, 6:30 p.m. at Catskill Town Hall and at wgxc.org/listen. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and Philip Grant up in Rensselaer County and I are bringing you the WGXC Congressional Report, full of stories about what the candidates and representatives from the New York 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional districts have been up to this past week. Go to WGXC.org in the WGXC newsroom for complete coverage of your congressional representative.
Patrick Hoff reports at Fox News that House Republican Conference Chair Elise Stefanik was incensed on February 3rd about China's, and I quote, violation of the United States airspace, end quote, in response to the communist country's spy balloon flying over the country. Stefanik was quiet, though, about reports of three similar balloons from China that violated United States airspace during the reign of President Donald Trump. Stefanik said, and I quote, the Chinese Communist Party's violation of the United States airspace and growing military aggression is a threat to our national security. This should be a wake-up call for Joe Biden's weakness on the world stage. He can no longer allow China, our greatest geopolitical challenge, to undermine us. End quote. Stefanik did not comment on Trump's weakness on the world stage. A senior U.S. defense official said over the weekend that balloons from China, similar to the one that was shot down off the coast of South Carolina this weekend, flew over the U.S. at least three times during the Trump administration. Stefanik represents New York's 21st congressional district, which includes Rensselaer County. Read more about this story at Fox News. Porcupine Soup reports that Republican Representative Mark Molinaro, who now represents New York 19th, announced February 6th the opening of a local office, including one in Greene County in Leeds. The others are in Binghamton, Liberty, Hancock, and Oneonta. Molinaro said, and I quote, constituent services and accessibility is our top priority. These offices will provide upstate New Yorkers with an important access point to our constituent service team who can help with a variety of federal issues. I encourage upstate New Yorkers to use our office as a resource. We are here to help, end quote. The Leeds office will be open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. The Leeds office is at 59 Gilfeather Park Road off of Main Street in Unit 1. The office can be reached at 585-625-2100. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. The Troy Record reports that Representative Paul Tonko, a Democrat who represents Albany County and the rest of the 20th Congressional District, recently introduced bipartisan legislation for research on Alzheimer's disease and supporting scientists in the development of treatments and potential cures. H.R. 619 and 620 are the National Alzheimer's Project Act Reauthorization Act and the Alzheimer's Accountability and Investment Act. Tonko and Republican Chris Smith from New Jersey hope to get the non-controversial bills passed. Both bills have passed previously and expire in 2025, so extending them could be bipartisan. Read the full story in the Troy Record. News 10 in Albany reports that Governor Kathy Hochul met with her state's congressional delegation on February 8th, but Representative George Santos was not a part of the group. Representative Mark Molinaro, the Republican who represents the 19th Congressional District, said, and I quote, no one noticed George Santos was not there, end quote. Democrat Representative Richie Torres said the discussion was productive, and I quote, partly because we had no charlatans like George Santos in the meeting, end quote. Both Molinaro and Democrat Pat Ryan commented on how they agreed with Republican Mitt Romney, who reportedly told Santos at the State of the Union speech that he did not belong in Congress. Molinaro said, and I quote, and I'm glad he said directly to Congressman Santos what many of us have been saying and thinking, end quote. And Ryan agreed, saying, and I quote, I'm glad Senator Romney joined what myself and my New York colleagues, Democrat and Republican, have been saying for weeks, end quote. Read the full story on the News 10 website. Nick Reisman reports for Spectrum News that Republican Representative Mark Molinaro is telling reporters that on February 9th, he will go on the House floor to complain about New York Governor Kathy Hochul's $227 billion budget plan, which Congress does not vote on. Molinaro is upset that Hochul's proposal could shift Medicaid money away from county governments. Molinaro says he will say, and I quote, Governor Hochul's budget puts these programs and the people served at risk. Her budget steals $1 billion in federal Medicaid dollars from the most vulnerable to subsidize a bloated and broken state bureaucracy. Governor Hochul is stealing from programs that help children, seniors, and those living in poverty, and putting Albany bureaucracy in control of another billion in taxpayer dollars, end quote. Molinaro represents the 19th Congressional District, though he lives in the 18th Congressional District. Last week, Pat Ryan, who represents the 18th District, went on the House floor to call for the CEO of Central Hudson to resign because of controversial billing practices. Read the full story at Spectrum News. Both Roll Call and Mid-Hudson News report that Democrat Pat Ryan and Republican Mark Molinaro are part of the SALT caucus for the 118th Congress. They want to restore the state and local tax deduction that Republicans took out in a 2017 tax law. New York, New Jersey, and some other states claim their citizens now pay double the tax. Ryan said, and I quote, the SALT deduction cap is blatant double taxation and unjustly punishes hardworking families across the Hudson Valley. I'm proud to stand and fight with colleagues from both parties to reinstate this deduction and put dollars back in the pockets of Hudson Valley families, end quote. The 2017 law put a $10,000 cap on the SALT deductions for taxpayers, and New York representatives so far have different plans for changing that. Read more about this story at Roll Call and Mid-Hudson News.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information. Next, this is tonight's episode from the 2023 Yola Tenga album, This Stupid World. Show you your trick.
clouds. No need to cast the itching. Let the four winds blow, let the night is down. I don't have to think. A to Z, yeah, no more. You can take your pick, guaranteed. Ask me nice, whatever you like. I'll show you real your trip.
Milk the cow,
I can milk the cow.
Mow the lawn,
I can mow the lawn.
Steal your face,
I can steal your face.
Ear the crowd,
I can ear to the crowd.
Shabby, shabby,
I can shabby, shabby.
Hello, this is Rob Gillis with This Month in History, a chronicle of significant or infamous events in art, science, music, literature, sports, and more that occurred this month either in the near or distant past. On February 1st, 1960, in Greensboro, North Carolina, four African-American students sat down and ordered coffee at a lunch counter inside a Woolworth store. They were refused service, but did not leave. Instead, they waited all day. The scene was repeated over the next few days, with protests spreading to other southern states. On February 3, 1870, the 15th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified, guaranteeing the right of citizens to vote regardless of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. On February 6, 1788, Massachusetts became the sixth state to ratify the new U.S. Constitution by a vote of 187 to 168. On February 8, 1910, the Boy Scouts of America was founded by William Boyce in Washington, D.C., modeled after the British Boy Scouts. On February 12, 1809, Abraham Lincoln, the 16th President of the United States, was born in Hardin County, Kentucky. On February 14, 1849, photographer William Brady took the first photograph of a U.S. president in office, James Polk. On February 19, 1942, internment of Japanese Americans began after President Franklin Roosevelt issued an executive order requiring those living on the Pacific coast to report for relocation. On February 21st, 1972, President Richard Nixon arrived in China for historic meetings with Chairman Mao Zedong and Premier Zhou Enlai. On February 24th, 1867, the House of Representatives voted to impeach President Andrew Johnson. However, the effort to remove him failed in the Senate by just one vote. On February 26, 1848, the Communist Manifesto pamphlet was published by two young socialists, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. On February 28, 1994, NATO conducted its first combat action as four Bosnian Serb jets were shot down by American fighters in the no-fly zone. You've been listening to This Month in History, monthly broadcast of historic events on WGXC. If you have an event that you'd like to hear included, email me, Rob Gillis, at info@wgxc.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Brian Hubert reports in the Daily Freeman that Central Hudson announced that its president and chief executive officer Charles Frenney is out, less than 2 weeks after Representative Pat Ryan called for his resignation on the floor of the House of Representatives. Central Hudson has faced ongoing billing problems and much criticism in recent months. Christopher M. Capone, who has worked for Central Hudson for 20 years, will be the utility's new CEO, with Frenney staying on for the transition before retiring. After Ryan, a Democrat, called for Frenney to step down, Republican Representative Mark Molinaro, Democrat State Senator Michelle Hinchey, and other local officials also called for a resignation. Quote, "The Central Hudson Board of Directors believes the time is right for a change of leadership," unquote, Margarita Dilley, chair of the Central Hudson Gas and Electric Board of Directors, said in a prepared statement. Capone promised fixing the company's billing system is, quote, "a key priority. We have hired a significant number of additional personnel, including contact center employees and other professionals, to work on these issues around the clock," unquote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Melissa Mano reports in the Times Union that there were at least 90 inmate suicides at state prisons and local jails between 2016 and 2021 in New York. During that time, two of those suicides were hangings at the Coxsackie Correctional Facility, and another was a hanging at the Greene County Jail. Mano writes that, quote, "a common thread emerging from the fatal incidents is a pattern of inadequate mental health services and shoddy supervision that preceded the deaths," unquote. Most suicides were inmates convicted of violent crimes, but the second largest group, at 27%, were inmates awaiting trial who had not yet been convicted of a crime. And 36% of the suicides in New York jails and prisons were among 25 to 34-year-olds. And suicides in prison are increasing. From 2001 to 2019, the number of suicides went up by 85% in state prisons, 61% in federal prisons, and 13% in local jails, according to Bureau of Justice Statistics data from the U.S. Justice Department. Read the full story in the Times Union. Kate Lisa reports at Spectrum News that the first recreational cannabis store outside of New York City opened in Binghamton on February 10th. The owner of the store has plans to open the state's first legal cannabis theater. Meanwhile, a lawsuit is blocking cannabis stores from opening in the Hudson Valley and four other regions of the state, and there is no word when stores could open locally. More about this story at Spectrum News. Raymond Pignone reports for Columbia Green Media that Representative Mark Molinaro has given the $1,000 campaign donation he got from Representative George Santos to the Southern Tier Veterans Support Group in Binghamton. Santos is under investigation and much criticism for an unusual amount of lies, even for a congressperson. So far, local Representative Elise Stefanik, a Republican who represents Rensselaer County and the rest of the 21st Congressional District, has kept the money Santos gave to her campaign. Molinaro and Democrat Pat Ryan have called for Santos to resign. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC renewable weather forecast for Tuesday, February 14th. And we start each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Citgo in South Caro has gas at $3.49 a gallon, the lowest according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is a 32, which is in the low range for Tuesday. The UV index is a 3, which is moderate but high for the winter months. The water temperature in the Hudson River is just below 38 degrees Fahrenheit. And on average, for the past 10 years on February 14th, the water temperatures averaged just below 36 degrees. So it's slightly more than 2 degrees above normal right now. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a cloudy Tuesday, gradually becoming sunny with a high of 45. Northwest winds 17 to 22 miles per hour, decreasing to 7 to 12 miles per hour in the afternoon. But wind gusts could be as high as 33 miles per hour, spinning local windmills. Tonight, the forecast is for increasing clouds with a low around 32 and a south wind 5 to 9 miles per hour after midnight. Wednesday should be cloudy, gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high of 54, a south wind 16 to 23 miles per hour with gusts as high as 34 miles per hour on Wednesday. Mostly cloudy is the forecast for Wednesday night with a low around 43. And again, a southwest wind 11 to 20 miles per hour with gusts as high as 30 miles per hour Wednesday night. Then on Thursday, there's a 60% chance of showers, mainly after 1 p.m., with cloudy skies, a high of 56, a west wind 6 to 8 miles per hour, becoming south in the afternoon. And showers are again likely Thursday night, mainly after 1 a.m., with a low around 43. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We put a bow on the show with retired meteorologist with the National Weather Service, Hugh Johnson, as we do on most Monday evenings and Tuesday mornings. Hey there, Hugh. How are you?
I'm good. It's a brisk morning in Florida, but it's I'm taking a nice walk on the beach.
Well, there you go. It's not exactly quite beach weather here to be taking a walk in the morning, but hey, I am happy that you get to have that opportunity. So, speaking of weather, I'm saying it's brisk because it's 25, let's face it. Around this time of the year, that's above normal, which is largely where we've been here throughout much of the winter. What's going on?
Well, again, we've been the way the jet stream has been oriented. We've had a southwest flow. We talked about this. The polar vortex has spent most of the time way up north, and we've just been in an amazingly mild Pacific flow, with the exception of the jailbreaker last week and the cold weather around Christmas. That's really been it. We've had a few moderate snowstorms, but other than that, it's been an amazingly mild winter, that is for sure.
Yeah, well, not only has it been mild, Hugh, we've also seen when these types of snowstorms and whatnot have happened, and when there have been these cold snaps, the temperature fluctuations have just been absolutely incredible. What's the cause?
Yes, yeah, again, because the main pattern has been really a warm one. This is going to continue this week, but there are signs that could change. And I know we've said this before, and we had a little, what we call a stratospheric warming event early February when we had that one week where it got cold. Okay. So it actually helped induce that really quick shot of brutally cold air. It looks like it'd be a more substantial one and perhaps a collapse of the polar vortex, which again has been wound tightly up north, and that could allow that weakening of the vortex to allow for the colder air to come down and stay a while. And we could end up seeing a reversal of the weather pattern that we could actually start getting coastal lows. Again, it's not etched in stone, but this exact same thing happened in 18. We had a mild winter. Well, we were cold. We had initially very cold, and then it got very mild. We hit the 70s that on February.
I remember
that,
yeah.
We got this, yeah. And then we had this stratospheric warming event, and just as people were ready for spring, we got slammed with three nor'easters in March, and then it was really cold in April. April, in some ways, bothered me more because it didn't snow much, but we couldn't lock the cold pattern at that point. So it's, I'm not saying it's going to happen exactly like that, but I got kind of a bad feeling that we're going to be in for a little rude awakening here. Or if you like winter, then you'll be happy. But most people by March are ready for spring.
See, pitchers and catchers report for baseball season here in the next few days, and to me that is when I start to get a little optimistic and looking forward to spring. So that's where I personally sit on this here. Hugh Johnson with me, Blaze Bryant, on Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Now, what